You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about marriage, you, family, dreams, and responsibilities, and how all these get together and make something. Bottom line, how do you juggle all these things and get the most on your return? How do we juggle all our responsibilities, everything we need to do, who we are, what we have going on, and in the end, be happy? And, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about, hey, they're married and, you know, their wife or their husband wouldn't be cool with them doing something, or they're married and they have kids and they can't go out and do this or that, or they got a job and so they can't be out late on the weekdays because of this reason or that, or they got all these responsibilities and so they can't do this and they can't do that. But I think we have to be able to look ourselves in the mirror in the beginning and the end of each day and throughout the day and be happy with the choices we've made for ourselves. In the end, right, there's not going to be a bunch of people judging us and looking at you going, well, you know, you did really good about, you know, self-sacrifice on Tuesday, September 28th, and self-sacrifice that whole month. Oh, you know, the whole good month. Well, you know what, the whole year of 2015, you really sacrificed yourself on every level. And we are very happy about that. You're going to be able to go into the pearly gates right now because you know what? You sacrificed what you wanted. And I think sometimes we do this sacrifice stuff, and I agree that you have to sacrifice some things. And I think we have to look at the word sacrifice a little bit, though. Are we sacrificing things when we give up things that we may or may want? I think it's good to not always just follow with every single whim. But I do think that sometimes we put ourselves on the back burner to either do the right thing in quotations of what we think is right, because of our responsibilities, because of what the family would like, because of what we're supposed to do, because of what society deems right. In the end, is society going to be there waiting around going, well, Ashley, never really got to leave your dream, huh? Yeah, that sucks. But you did what society thought was good, you know, because, you know, you did what everybody else thought you should do, so that's good. You know, that was good. And you're over there thinking, man, I didn't even get anything out of this lifetime that I wanted. Yeah, sure, I raised some kids and I love that and I'm appreciative of it, but I never got to do anything that I dreamed of. I mean, how many of us know people that didn't get to live their dream? And the dream doesn't necessarily matter what the actual dream is. The dream could be that they wanted to play in a neighborhood band. The dream could be that they wanted to go to Hawaii. The dream could be that they wanted to retire and teach golf. Whatever the dream is, it's personal to all of us, just like our story is personal to all. We don't have to always know everybody's dreams and aspirations, but think about it. What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? What are the things that keep you going in the darkest of times? What are the things that you think about constantly that brings a smile to your face? And I think these are the things that we want to think about tonight as we peruse this concept, as we think about the perspective on life when it comes to living our dreams and also holding and considering our marriage, ourselves, our family, our dreams, and our responsibilities, and how we can actually merge and juggle all these things in our life and have the most return as far as to be the happiest person we can be. I think a lot of times some of us put the responsibility of happiness on other people. We put it on our family, on our friends, on our kids even. If our kids could just pass that math class, our whole life would be better. We wouldn't hear the griping of our wife, husband. We wouldn't have to be spending all that money on the tutor. We know that the kid could get in a decent school in college and, you know, maybe get a scholarship. But is the kid passing the math class, is it that big of a deal? Does it really weigh that heavy on our happiness quotient? It was interesting the other day. I woke up. Thank God. I like to be awake. I like to be alive. I woke up And I already put life in perspective on that level as far as, hey, you woke up, so you got one thing going for you. That's good. And I woke up and I sat there and I went, oh, I wonder if I got my iHeart status yet. I'm waiting on that iHeart status, waiting on the iHeart status. Woo! Gonna wait on it. I know there's a backlog. There's a lot of people applying for it. I get it. So I woke up and I checked Spreaker. And I wanted to see, did I get the iHeart status? Eh, it's still pending. Still pending right now. And I laid back down. I laid my head back down on the pillow. And I kind of went, put the iPhone down on the bed. And I looked at the ceiling in the bedroom. And I thought about it. And I said, you know, I really hope this goes through. I really, 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 really hope that this goes through at some point. And the quicker, the better. But then I started thinking about it. And I thought about, what if that iHeart status had been approved that morning? And I woke up, saw the approval, the icon now on the streamline for the show. My own dedicated iHeart station. Yes, this show is aired on iHeart, but I'm talking about my own Ashley Burgess Perspective dedicated iHeart station. And I thought about it and I said, what would have happened if I would have woken up and that would have been approved? Would things be really that much different? Would there be like candles and roses and confetti and I'd be running around in a circle making an idiot of myself? Or would I have gone, good job. Time to go to work. And I figured that, you know what? It would be more of the latter. Sometimes I realize that I take very little joy in certain things. Not because they're not worth it, just because I'm going to that next step. And I see some of my friends take great joy in things, which is great. And I'm very happy that they take great joy. I've just never been that person to really, just really sit around in the success mode and not keep going. And I've realized that that's good and bad. Because I think that to some degree, we have to pat ourselves on the back for what we have created so far. We have to congratulate ourselves in the belief that we've done this. We've created all this so far. We've done this. We've come from A to B. Wow. I've done this. But a lot of times we don't stop and smell the roses. Because I think maybe a couple times in our life, maybe we stopped and smelled the roses for too long. You know what I mean? Having that big party that lasts for a couple weeks. The good old birthday party that just kept on going for the entire month of June. And I think we've been there. And so instead of doing that, we've cut so far back that we no longer celebrate the triumphs. And so those get kind of pushed into this responsibility factor. Those kind of get shuffled in the mix. And a lot of times between these triumphs, we don't see the small incremental movements because we've gotten so programmed to see the triumph, to accept it, to go, yay, and to keep going. When in maybe a more successful terminology, we need to look at these smaller triumphs, say, yay, keep going, and take a breather on the bigger ones, because I think otherwise it just all kind of goes together. At what point in time are we going to be happy? At what point in time is enough? I remember one time I asked my dad, and I said, you know, do you love doing what you do? And my dad said, you know, I like doing what I do for a living. It's okay. And I said, well, why do you do it? He goes, to make money. And I go, well, how much money is enough money? He goes, never. There's never a number for that. There's never going to be enough money. And I remember as a kid looking at that thinking, really? Because I think that we want to do things for other reasons. And I understand where my dad was coming from at the time. I think sometimes we all get our priorities a little out of whack. But I think that we have to do what we do to some degree because we love it. Because if we don't love it or we don't care about it, it's going to come out in the mix. If you love having children and you love taking care of your children, that's awesome. If you don't really like being a parent and you get tired of it and it's not your favorite, that's going to come out in the mix. It's going to come out in everything you do when it comes to raising your children. And I think sometimes the reason why this happens is not because we're bad parents or not because we're hard and stone in our heart. I think it's because we don't always see the silver lining. We don't always see the synchronicity of situations. And we don't always see a fulfilling outcome. Stay tuned when we return. We're going to be talking more about how we can juggle all these responsibilities and still get out ahead and create the life that we've always dreamed of. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about you. We're talking about marriage, family, dreams, and responsibilities. So the other night, I had this dream. I had this vision, this dream, really. I had this dream that I had visited the Serengeti. I've always wanted to go to the Serengeti, okay? I remember when I was a kid and I got my first pair of Serengeti glasses and I was like, wow, that's a name for you. Where did that name come from? So I went, figured it out, went to the encyclopedia. You remember those encyclopedias? Oh my gosh. Now it's Google. But remember we all had those encyclopedias and our parents paid a lot of money for them. Paid a lot of money for them. Those were expensive. A friend of mine told me about how his dad used to get on him. He bought those encyclopedias, and if the kid wasn't reading the encyclopedias every night, the dad would just yell at him. He's like, you know how much money I spent on those encyclopedias to get you to learn? Seriously. And I opened up the encyclopedia, and I looked up Serengeti, and I realized, oh my gosh, this is in Africa. This is like a wildlife refuge area. This is like got some amazing stuff. And so there I am in my dream a few days ago, and I'm in the Serengeti. And Greg and I are actually in the Serengeti together, which is really cool. Yes, and in the dream, Buddy's there too. I know. He'd probably get eaten by a rhino or something. But yeah, he's there too. And I'm like, how did the whole family get to the Serengeti? And so in my dream, I had literally sold my house and sold my car and started doing my show remotely. Was able to do it all over the world. And I would go place to place around the whole world and work doing some odd job to make some money and see the world. And it was very interesting because, you know, I woke up thinking about this and I had gone all over the world. I'd gone all over planet Earth. I'd gone all over Serengeti. I've been here, there. I've been in Iceland. I've been all over the world. And I was thinking, you know, is that maybe what we're supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be experiencing all types of life? Are we supposed to experience all areas of life? I mean, I kind of feel sometimes like we're a little, I don't know, left out. Like we're stuck here. And I don't mean we're stuck here. I mean, we can leave at any time. But I feel like we have set up this whole system. We bought the house, got the kids in school, got the cars, paying the car bills, paying the car, monthly car statement, paying the mortgage. Paying the taxes, going to work every day, putting the money into the 401k for some of us, and other ones of us is the 401k, and other ones are not. I probably fall into that second category. And, you know, it's like we play this whole nest egg, and we got all this stuff going on, but we wake up every single day in the same place, in the same town, and we dream about these things. And I have some friends of mine in California. And I remember having this conversation with them one night over several beers. And their dream was to move to an island and start up a small airplane jumper service. You know, where you jump from island to island. And so it's very interesting. So you get to go from island to island and all kinds of stuff. And so you take people, you know, that are doing diving and that kind of sort of thing. And one guy wanted to teach surfing, and then another guy also wanted to teach people on the island how to fly. And they came up with this whole concept, move out there, do what they got to do, and none of them did it. None of them did it because everybody had mortgages and payments and careers. But you know what? There's not a day that goes by that they don't think about that. And I'm not saying that we should all jump up and leave this minute. I mean, and you go to wherever your Serengeti is and do whatever odd jobs you have to do to get food and to be able to travel. But I do wonder sometimes. I wonder if we have created all this model where we are kind of stuck. You know, and if it was basically our whole life was supposed to be a vacation instead of the other way around. You know, it's interesting. It's like I think about vacations like it's like this, like the Shroud of Torah. Like this is a big deal. Like it's touching like the, you know, the cup of Jesus Christ to go on to a vacation. I mean, how many of you listening to me right now go, you know what, Ashley, you're right. I mean, we work really hard. We have a lot going on. We have a lot of responsibilities. But it's like almost taking a vacation is almost difficult. To some people, it's almost painful because you work for yourself and it's scary. You're not going to be working for 3 days or 4 days or 5 days. What are you going to do? What if something happens? What if you need to be there? And I feel like we have to come up with a concept for ourselves to keep our sanity, to be able to stay in the situation, respect what we're doing, being happy with what we're doing, feeling good about our day-to-day, but also being able to sit there and see the silver lining of certain things and maybe going to a different level of thought to reach our destination. And maybe this happens when we're able to see things as they authentically and truly appear in our life. Because what I'm getting to here is that I feel like a lot of times as we go through life and we do the same thing over and over again, we live in the same house, we take care of the same responsibilities, we go to work at the same time every day. And so what I'm getting at tonight is that we don't have to necessarily go to the Serengeti. But I mean, eventually we can. I think we can find the Serengeti right here in quotation marks. Because I think what the Serengeti represents to me is adventure. The Serengeti represents to me coming of age and seeing the world as it truly is. Seeing things, seeing people, seeing situations as they truly are. And I think that's interesting because sometimes in life, things happen to us that we don't understand. We don't understand why it went a certain way or why it's going this direction or that. We're waiting for an answer and we get more questions, less answers. And you know, that's not what I like. And we sit there and we wonder, what happened? Why did this not happen? But it's not until we see the big picture eventually that we realize that we didn't need to be stressing out about this at all. In reality, we needed to be relaxing and continuing to go the course. I mean, how many times have you done what I've done, where you go into a project and you're all gung-ho about it, and you're happy and you're stoked and things are just, yay! And the months go by and the months go by and it gets tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher. And finally, a year in, you go, you know what? I got to see a sign. Things got to come my way. And with every passing day, you got to see the sign. You got to see something. You want to see something. You pray to see something. And it's funny how we finally get a little sign and maybe we overlook that sign because it's not a big enough sign or because we weren't looking. For example, the other day, I had a situation come about. I was looking for something specific and someone was basically telling me that they were looking for something too, but I wasn't thinking about the situation. I wasn't seeing it with clarity. For an example, you know, you have a friend of yours telling you that they're about to quit their job and they're very unhappy with their job, but they're good at doing XYZ. And you kind of look at it at face value and you go, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, anything I can do to help you, just let me know. And I walked out of there and I said, you know, anything I can do to help you, I'm good. And I walked out, I got in my car and I left. And it was funny because my husband had been with me And he goes, you know what? He goes, your friend is looking for a job. And I go, yeah, yeah. She told me she was going to quit that job and move on. And he's like, yeah, she wants to do this, this, and that. And I kind of thought about it for 1 second, and I go, well, I'm looking for somebody to do that. And all of a sudden, it was like, ding, 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 ding. What do we have for her, Johnny? Well, we have some nice party gifts. And so I ended up texting her, and she came in and met with me the other day. And I realized that in life, when we keep our ears open, synchronicity happens, success comes about, and these can be our awesome awakenings. And I think we can take a lot from that. Because I think because we have all these responsibilities, because we are coupled with responsibilities and our dreams, because nobody wants to go to their deathbed going, man, I never really did anything I wanted to do. I never got to live that life I wanted to live. I wanted to be XYZ, but instead I was XYZ that everybody else wanted me to be. And you know, I realized one thing is that, you know what? You're the only one that has to live with you. Yes, you might be living with a spouse and you might be living with a family, but I'm talking about living with what you do. If you're unhappy or you don't feel fulfilled, you've got to check yourself and figure out how is it that you can be. Because life's too short to go through it being unfulfilled spiritually, being unfulfilled mindfully. I mean, nobody's going to give you a medal for not doing what you love. Well, Ashley went her whole life without doing what she loves. So, you know, we're going to give her a medal because, you know, that makes her a saint in our book. Well, nobody's going to be there to give me the medal. I'm not going to give me the medal. I don't have a medal to give. We don't need no stinking patches. We don't need no stinking patches. Seriously, who's going to give me a Medal of Honor based on the fact that I didn't do what I wanted to do in life? When we return, we'll be talking more about juggling these responsibilities, about marriage, family, the dreams and the responsibilities, and how you can come out ahead. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Yeah, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about marriage, you, family, dreams, and responsibility. The five main things. We're talking about this and how we can actually juggle all these things, juggle all our responsibility, and still get the most in return. And I think this is important to talk about because I think more than ever, we're getting more stressed out. More than ever, our responsibilities are getting bigger and bigger, more and more time consuming. As time goes by, we have more and more insane news stories and feeling as though we're a little, I don't know, don't really have a say. You know, between taxes, the IRS, politics, family, children, disease, healthcare. I mean, all this stuff is just stressing us out. And I think that adds to our disposition of not being as happy as we want to be. And sometimes we don't get to do what we want to do. And I think we have to really sit and realize and analyze what is it that we want to do in life? What are we happy with doing? Consider our triumphs. Consider our triumphs. Because I think that's important. We want to be able to consider our triumphs and be able to figure out what it is necessary to our life. What do we need to do? What is important to our career? What is important to our heart? What is important to our soul? At what level can I operate from? How deep am I willing to go when it comes to mental, emotional, and spiritual awakening? Am I allowing myself to be as deep as involved and to understand me as much as I can? And some of us shy away from that, and I get it because it's scary. Because the more you understand yourself, the more you understand yourself. The more you understand why you do what you do, and you can't hide behind that because of, I don't know, sudden insanity. Think about it. And when we're married, we feel like we owe our marriage something, and a lot of people are different with their spouse. So think about this. You all have friends, and maybe you are, or you have that friend, or maybe you. are different around your spouse. Like when you're out with your friends, hanging out, you're carrying on, you're laughing, you're joking around. But when your spouse comes around, you be quiet. Or at least you have a friend like that, right? Where every time they come out with their spouse, they're like ultra quiet, conservative. Like they're not themselves. Like you're like, what are you doing, man? Are we really playing this game? You know, but then when the spouse isn't there, they're like cutting up, joking around, having another beer, laughing, cutting up about what happened at church or what happened the other day when y'all went to that picnic or whatever, making fun, having a good time. But right when the spouse shows back up, they're like, oh, yeah, it's really, really great to see you. And I think a lot of us do that to a degree, maybe not as extreme as the example that I just offered. But a lot of us change ourselves in front of our spouse. And we have to ask ourselves, why do we do that? Didn't our spouse marry us for us? Didn't our spouse know, sadly enough, what they were getting into when they married us? Think about it. And why is it that we feel like we need to change to be around them? We don't feel good enough? Our personality is not good enough? We're too raw for them? Too Eddie Murphy raw for them? What are we hiding? Why are we being that other person? I mean, I think we have to sit there and check ourselves and step up to the plate and say, you know what? I love me some me. I love me for who I am. I love me because I care about life and I love myself. And ever since I was a kid, I want to fulfill certain destinies and certain dreams and certain outcomes. And I might not achieve it, but doggone it, I'm going to try. And I think that's what we want to talk about tonight. And that's what we're talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Is yeah, you might be married and you might have children, but you got to do things for you too. And you got to step up and be you. Because everybody would prefer to have an authentic person than to have another cookie cutter from the suburbs. I mean, you make yourself very interesting and very unique. And your wife or your husband wouldn't have met you and married you had that not been the case. There's something they liked about you, unless you're in a messed up marriage where they're just trying to constantly change you. And sadly enough, if that's the case, then you know you're in that type of marriage. And good luck to you. Because those marriages don't work unless you're willing to get changed. And then they might change you again and again and again. And when you change finally, they might decide that they don't like the new changed you. And they need to separate. However, for everybody else out there, be yourself when it comes to your marriage. Step up to the plate. When I go places with my husband, there was times when I was younger. We've been married for 12 years. There were times when we had first been married that I didn't cut up as much in front of people. I didn't make as many jokes. I didn't say what was on my mind. And now, you know what? I let it all hang out. I do it because it's me. Because I'm authentic. And no matter what, nobody's going to take me off of my authenticness. Nobody's going to take me away from who I am. And if somebody's going to take me away from who I am, I'm not going to be with them. And I think we have to step up to the plate and we have to be authentically ourselves. And once we know who we are, we've gotten to know ourselves really well. And I'm talking about that deep, 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 deep search. I'm talking about that spiritual, that mental, that emotional balance. Well, we know ourselves. We know ourselves through and through. Some things we might be happy about. Sometimes we go, you know, nobody's perfect. And you don't have to hide your imperfections because your imperfections make you actually cool. I mean, come on. Nobody likes a perfect person. You know why? Because there aren't any perfect people, and they know that if they're saying that they're perfect, they're lying. Nobody likes a liar. And nobody really understands somebody that's never really lived. None of my clients would want me to be somebody that's never lived. Nobody wants to come into my office and get coaching or get therapy by someone that's never lived and never done anything wrong in their whole entire life. Nobody buys into that BS. Nobody should. And you know, the interesting part about this dichotomy is that when you've done crazy stuff and you've actually dealt with it, understood why, realized the reason, forgiven yourself, laughed about it, bring it up in social situations, don't care what anybody thinks about it, guess what? You're over it. You're actually over it. I'll give you a good example of that. In a different thought process. So this, and a different perspective. Okay, so I quit smoking one time for 7 years, right? I quit smoking for 7 years. And, you know, after 7 years, a friend of mine came back around and it was the least of the worst evils. And I started smoking again. Yeah, that was a bonehead idea, and it was a bonehead agreement for me to jump in and start smoking. For the love of God, what was I thinking? But after smoking for another 2.5 years, I woke up one morning, and I quit. And I quit, and I've been quit solid for 4 years now. I haven't smoked cigarettes again. And the way I knew that I had actually quit legitimately, the way that I knew that I had actually quit legitimately, that this wasn't just one of those many times that I quit, was that I could be around people that were smoking, I could stand next to them while they smoked, and it didn't bother me. See, the first time I quit smoking for 7 years, throughout that entire experience, anytime I went to a restaurant and they sat me next to smokers, I would cause a total fit. I would cause a scene. What is going on here? And who smokes around here? And haven't people gotten into the 20th century, the 21st century already? For the love of God, you're going to kill all of us. I had no empathy. I wanted nothing to do with it. And it wasn't until I quit that last time. I can be around it. I don't mind the smell of it. It doesn't bother me. And it's funny how everybody goes, oh, I know you don't smoke. Is this okay? I go, yeah, it's fine. Don't blow it right in my face. But it doesn't bother me. And it's the same with our past indiscretions and our past problems and our past craziness when it doesn't bother us anymore. When we're not trying to hide it or sweep it under the rug or act like it never existed. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you. Those things make us who we are today. Our past experiences make for our current perspective. Okay? So for some of you that may have gone to jail or some of you that might have been fired for whatever reasons from work, that kind of stuff makes you who you are today. It doesn't make you a bad person. It probably makes you more well-rounded, and it makes you understand from a different perspective that other people wouldn't get. And those are the things that we have to embrace. And it wasn't until I realized that I needed to embrace the things that I saw as my cons on the list of pros and cons for Burgess. You have a big Burgess, B-E-R-G-E-S, at the top of the legal pad. You have a line down the center, and you have pros and cons. And I used to feel that some of my past indiscretions were cons. But they're not. They made me who I am today. They made me able to understand certain situations and perspectives that I would not otherwise understand. It gave me this foresight that I would not trade for the world. I was able to understand. I was able to live through it. I was able to tell the tale. And so I give you a piece of advice right now in the middle of this show is come to grips with your past. Come to grips with your past because I think that it is really important. You know what? I don't have to think it's really important. You know it's important. Begin to come to grips with your past. And that means maybe writing down your indiscretions, dealing with it, processing it, forgiving yourself. Because guess what? This makes you kind of cool. Yeah. You know how people always talk big about going to jail? It's kind of like those stories you got. Now you got these stories and you've forgiven yourself for it. You don't feel weird about it. And guess what? Other people like you for it. Because guess what? You're being honest. You're being authentic. You're not trying to be perfect Pollyanna. Nobody buys into that anyway. And when you try to do that kind of stuff, people just wonder how much more you're hiding. And so instead, being you is awesome. And when you're not you, people can tell. And the people that don't like you for you, you don't need to hang out with them. That's a good sign to figure out who likes you for you is to just be you 24/7. And they'll actually leave you alone. And if you don't go running back for them and you let them go, they'll get out of your life forever and you can be you. So when we return, we'll be talking more about marriage, you, the family, dreams, and responsibilities, and how you can juggle all this stuff, be you, and come out ahead. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in 2 shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we're talking tonight about marriage, you, family, your dreams, and your responsibilities. You know, it's interesting when we juggle all this stuff, and sometimes we feel like we're not doing that good of a job. And other times we kind of give ourselves a pat on the back, and other times we just need to have a revelation. We need to have a different perspective. You know, to be thought about when it comes to these situations, because we live this life day in and day out, and we begin to get into the minutiae of things where you start getting, I don't know, nearsighted. Like, we don't see the big picture anymore. We see the small picture that we find its faults and all the issues with it. And we rarely see our triumphs. We rarely see the things that, you know, we love. And we start micromanaging everything in our life. And we start trying to be what we think everybody else wants us to be. And tonight's show is dedicated to you being you. To be able to realize your triumphs. But better yet, to understand where you stand within all this. Sometimes it's hard because you might lose your identity in your marriage, with your children, with your responsibilities, and you wonder where the dreams have gone. You wonder where the love and the passion for life has gone, and we have to step back sometimes and see where we've come. And you know, it was interesting the other day, I was online, and I didn't realize, and I know this might put things into perspective for a lot of people, and maybe it won't for some, but I mean, Michael Jackson to a lot of people was somebody that you loved their music. You loved his music. You grew up, you know, listening to the Jacksons. And, you know, his story was kind of sad. And it's weird that he's been gone for 6 years now. And that's really a milestone if you think about it. What's happened in your life in the last 6 years? What's happened? And I started thinking about what I've done in the last 6 years. And it's funny that I have created so much in the last 6 years, I've created so much, and it's unbelievable how far I've come. But when I look at it day to day, it seems like nothing. It seems like I'm barely getting by. I'm barely trudging along. It's like I'm wearing like rain boots on the beach, and it's just totally flooded. And I'm trying to walk through that thick, not packed sand, where I'm all over the place, and it seems like it takes several minutes to make one step. And let's just add uphill to that as well. And let's add 100 degree heat. And it's like sometimes you just feel like you're going nowhere. Sometimes you feel like you're waiting on things to come in. You're waiting for your ship to come in. But in the process, it's like this constant same old. And I had that dream the other night about going to the Serengeti. And about leaving all my financial responsibilities behind. And I think that we're not always able to jump to the Serengeti and sell the house and take the kids out of school and go there. But we can try to figure out what our Serengeti is right here. Because I think if we look at life in a different perspective, we can find the silver lining, we can find the synchronicity, we can find the values within our life that makes our life worth living. Because I think when I get stuck in that humdrum deal, the day-to-day crisis scenario, where you go through life and you wake up at what, 6 a.m.? I bet you wake up around 6 a.m., take a shower, get ready, have some coffee, maybe turn on the TV, go to work. Go to work, and it depends on how long you're at work, and you're working, you're putting out fires, and you're dealing with the stress, and you're dealing with the corporate culture. Dealing with stress, you might be working for yourself, so you are having to come up with every single dime that comes into your office. And, you know, it can get grueling, and some of us work till really late at night. And you get home, and you make dinner, 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and you eat, and maybe you have a drink, and you watch some TV, and you take care of the kids, and you go to bed, and you do the whole thing over again, and over again. And over again, and over again, and over again. And in those processes, you have fights and arguments, you have issues, you have disagreements. And then in the middle of all that, you go, what is going on here? I had this dream about the Serengeti, for God's sakes. And I'm over here picking up dog poop in the backyard so I don't stand in a landmine. Where is my Serengeti? And I realize now that we must find our Serengeti until we can actually get to whatever destination that is. In the process of dreaming about that destination, we have to make that dream a reality in day-to-day life. We have to see the authentic wild side. We have to be our authentic self. We have to put ourselves out there in every situation and make the best of everything we have. We have to see the silver lining of dealing with our kids and our marriage. See the silver lining behind making dinner. See the silver lining behind eating and working. See the silver lining of getting up early. See the silver lining of going to bed and knowing that you have 6 hours to sleep. And sometimes that can be so difficult because we get so overwhelmed with our responsibilities and we wonder when our ship's going to come in. And so I have a few pieces of advice tonight that I think might make life a little easier to live. It might put life into perspective. And it's going to put you back in the forefront. And, you know, I think a lot of times we kind of put ourselves at the back burner. We're always taking care of things. And the problem is that when we kind of lose it and we burn the candle at both ends, what? We get stressed out and we take it out on everybody else. So what can we do to see the synchronicity, to deal with the silver lining, and to find our adventure in day-to-day life? You know, the first thing you want to do is you want to be yourself. And I know that might be easier said than done, but think about it. You want to be your authentic self in every situation, no matter if you're with your wife or your husband or your children. You want to be yourself because they love you for you. And people know when you're not being genuine. And, you know, think about it. It's all about being yourself. It's about finding your true self, finding your calling. And you know what? In the end of the day, you have to look at yourself and go, I feel good about me. And for all of us out there, no matter how happily married you are, no matter how happy with your kids, you got to do me some time. Make some time for yourself. Make some small adventures on a daily basis. For example, if you work and you're able to take off lunch, maybe you eat a quick lunch and you walk around the office on a route you haven't taken before. You know, you got to check out things around your surroundings. And sometimes you can find some amazing stuff in your surroundings that you didn't even know existed. You didn't even know it existed. And, you know, a lot of times people will talk about those types of things. And if you're actually focusing and listening, you're going to catch on to something. You know, you want to be yourself in every social situation. You want to be yourself with you. You want to get to know yourself. The more you know about yourself, the more you know about the universe. The more you understand yourself and what makes you tick, the more you can understand other people and the more you can love them for who they are. You know, the more that you understand yourself and why you do what you do, the easier it is to understand why the world rotates and does certain things. When you're able to understand the reason why you do things, you can understand why others do other things. And on top of that, you can know who you want to spend more time with and who you don't. You know, the second thing that you want to do is to begin to realize that there are different layers of reality. There is a technicolor, dream color pattern when it comes to day-to-day basis that a lot of us never see. Because we have to remember that there's a lot of things going down in the unseen world. And once we realize that, we know that there's more to work than meets the eye. And when we're able to see that level, some people call it spirituality. Some people call it God. Some people call it Jesus Christ. Some people call it something totally different. But once we're able to realize that that is a factor, we realize that everything has a different perspective. There's a different goal. There's a different layer. There's a different weave being woven when it comes to whatever. And the actions that we act and the way that we talk and what we do has implications across all boards. When we realize that when things are done to us, and maybe they're not the best of experiences, later on we don't realize exactly what's going to happen, but something comes out of that. When we don't get that job that we've been wanting, we wonder why. Why weren't we good enough? What was wrong with us? Why couldn't we get picked? And later on we end up getting a job that we could only dream of. And last but not least, you want to laugh. Don't take yourself so serious. Stop taking yourself so serious. Because, you know, when we laugh, we're able to see the humor in things. When we laugh, we're able to take ourselves out of the middle of the tornado, step back a little bit, and see things for how they are. Most of the time, the situation is not as bad as it seems. And when we're able to just laugh just a little bit, we're able to find humor, we're able to decompress, we're able to take that stress level off, and we're able to see life in a humorous way. And so the next time you're in a stressful situation, that you don't know how to deal with and that you're trying to look for an answer, sit back, take some deep breaths in and out, and laugh. And when you laugh, you put yourself in a completely different perspective. You're able to see things better, more clearly, more well-defined, and you're able to juggle whatever responsibilities you have. Whether it's your marriage, your family, your responsibilities, your work, you're able to juggle that, and you're able to get the most back in return because you're understanding that life is a treasure and not a burden. So stay tuned. We have a great show for you next in Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back. Be back this time in three shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, in the first hour, we've been talking about marriage, family, dreams, responsibilities, and you, and how you can juggle all these things together, and how you can actually make sense out of it and get something back for you in return. You know, right now, I want to talk about another strategy. I want to talk about another concept that has to do with this same topic, and it's about marriage and communication. And in order for you to have you, and in order for you to have a healthy marriage, you have to be able to communicate in your marriage. You have to have marriage and communication. And so I would like to talk about in this last hour is how we can communicate effectively with our spouse. Because that's so important, because there's so many times that we have arguments and disagreements based on not good communication. I mean, how many times, think about it right now, because I've done it countless times. I just did it earlier today. How many times have you communicated with your spouse and you didn't communicate properly, or they didn't hear you properly, and an argument started based on those situations? Think about it. The last time I had an argument with my spouse was when I swear I explained exactly what was going on in a situation. And apparently I hadn't, or apparently they hadn't heard me. And so they were questioning exactly what was going on for the whole next day, and I ended up having an argument over it. And I think a lot of times we find ourselves there. For example, how many of you have had an after-work meeting that was set up right after work? You meet there, you have a large group of people that you have to meet with, you have to strategize some stuff, you're trying to close a deal, do whatever, and your spouse goes, well, I thought you were out with so-and-so. Okay. At the same time, yes, so-and-so might be there, but it's not some sort of like party down situation. And so they start second-guessing you because, one, you either didn't communicate effectively, and maybe I left out a lot of the meat of the information, or maybe they weren't listening. So let's talk about marriage and communication tonight, because this is so important, because you're going to be happy or sad based on the communication level that you have with your spouse. You know, the first thing that we want to do to communicate effectively in our marriage, and this works for boyfriends and girlfriends, this works for any type of relationship, really, but so much, really, for the marriage. Because in a marriage, we have a tendency, of kind of disregarding our spouse. We have a tendency of seeing, well, we've been with them for 15, 20 years. I mean, come on, they should be able to read my mind by now. If they can't read my mind by now, well, maybe we have a problem. Maybe we shouldn't be together. Maybe we aren't soulmates. But you know, really, most people can't read each other's minds. And so first off, we have to communicate effectively by listening. And that's something that I normally do pretty well, but occasionally I don't. And it's funny because the other day, my spouse ended up texting me and saying, you know, hey, I'm going to be late. The flight was running late. Whatever. And I'm thinking in my head, I had no idea that you were flying out and flying back in the same day today. I mean, where was I at? Was I completely out to lunch? Was I not listening to one thing that was said last night? Well, anyway, comes back around. It ended up being somebody from the company had flown in and they were having dinner and their flight was late. And so he was waiting on them. However, in a text message, none of that came out. None of that came out correctly at all. I sat there and went, well, gosh, I must not be listening at all. But the good thing is that if you are actually listening, if you're actually listening to what's going on, guess what? You're not going to get confused like that. And that's one of the biggest things we don't do with our spouses is listen. A lot of times we take them for granted. A lot of times we take our relationship for granted, and we do that because they've been around. And that's a human fault that we have, to take people for granted that are actually around. I mean, gosh. I mean, they're going to be around us. I mean, we're lucky to have them for the most part. I mean, most of us are lucky to have the spouses we have. Most people wouldn't take the crap that we dish out day after day. And so we have to sit there and understand the fact that we have to listen sometimes to what they're saying. And not just have to listen, we should be listening. I mean, unless they just talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week about nothing. But for the most part, most of the time, our spouses have something to say. And so if we start listening and employ the fact of listening, we're going to get pretty far with our marriage. We're going to gain those points. But bigger than that, we're going to know what's going on. We're not going to have to sit there and question or wonder what's going on. We're going to know. You know, and when we listen, we are so effective at listening that we actually feel better about where we are. We feel better about our marriage, and we also feel better about us being good listeners. You know, the second thing you want to do is you want to begin to express yourself. I think a lot of times in marriages, we hold back from being honest. We hold back from being honest about how we truly feel. Think about it. When was the last time that you expressed yourself truly? When was the last time you expressed yourself truly in a way that made sense? And I think sometimes we hold back because we're stressed out or angry or we're upset, and we don't want to throw that out there, but it's so wild how one question can lead to a total argument. Because we haven't been explaining ourselves. We haven't been expressing ourselves properly. We've been kind of putting that on the back burner because we don't want to rock the boat. I mean, why rock the boat? We got all this going. We don't want to add any more stress and strain. We don't want to have an argument. But funny enough, when we don't express ourselves properly, it comes out anyway. Why is that? I remember when I was a kid, and one time my dad did something that really, really, really upset me. And it was not toward me, but it was toward my mom. And I held it inside for a long time. And it wasn't until one night he wanted me to take out the trash. And we were finishing dinner, and he wanted me to take out the trash. And I was like, you know, I said a few ill-planned curse words. And I got the back slap, where you can still see the impression of the hand on your leg. And I started basically getting mad at my dad, and it had nothing to do with the trash. It had nothing to do with the trash at all. It had everything to do with what I was holding inside that had previously taken place probably about a month ago. And a lot of times we do that in marriage. We don't do that so much with our friends, because somehow we get that out. But when it comes to our marriage, we have a tendency of holding on to stuff that just bugs the living bejesus out of us. And when we have an argument, we have a fuss, we have a fight, it just all comes out. It all comes out. It all happens. And it's like we have to sit there and we have to be able to express ourselves when we need to, so that all this stuff doesn't come out. So it's not the diarrhea of the mouth, the arguments, the fighting, and the fussing when it doesn't need to be. Because I think sometimes we make marriage out to be harder than it is. And I do believe we do that. And I don't know why that is, but I think it's because sometimes, because of all the media and because of all the coverage, we don't feel that marriage can really be that easy. And I'm not saying it's easy. Marriage is work. Okay? Marriage is work. But at the same time, it doesn't have to be as hard as we make it out to be. We can have some sort of common ground. We can find what we're looking for. And all of that, we can actually work together and grow. And I think the only times that it becomes difficult is when you're kind of working separately. The only times it becomes difficult is when you're working on a different page. And when you're expressing yourself and you're being honest, you're not on a separate page. You're being honest. And if your spouse can't accept the fact that you're being honest, then that's a problem. And that needs to be addressed. But you're not going to find that out unless you're being honest and honestly expressing yourself. Then and only then are you going to find out if they accept you for you or not. And one of the biggest caveats that I'd like to talk about, though, is if you haven't honestly been expressing yourself since the beginning, this may be a problem. It may be a problem because a lot of times, you know, people just assume that the way that you come in on that first meeting, the way that you present yourself, is who you are. And if that's not who you are, then this could be a problem, because if you're waiting to be yourself in a marriage and it's been 5 or 10 years, you need to step up to the plate, or you're going to end up dying after this relationship, years later down the road, never being able to be your true self. And that kind of goes back to what I was talking about in the first hour about being able to be yourself in front of your spouse. Think about it. When was the last time that you went out with your spouse, with your friends? How was it? Did you feel like you were yourself? Did you feel like you could say whatever you wanted to say? Or did you feel stifled? Did you feel a little on edge? Did you not know what was going to happen? Did you hope that your friends wouldn't make a fool out of you? Did you hope your friends weren't going to say something crazy about what you did the week before? I mean, think about it. And a lot of times we get on pins and needles about that, but should we? I don't think so. And I think, honestly, if our marriage is good and our spouse and we have a good relationship, we should be able to be honest and direct in our marriage. And that goes for relationships, long-term relationships. This could even apply to friendships. If you're not expressing yourself and you feel like you have to hide your true self when you're around other people or you're around them, that's a problem. That's a big indication that this might not be a good relationship for you. Or this means that you need to actually have a come to Jesus conversation with your spouse and discuss why you feel like you can't be yourself. Because if you feel like they're squashing you or kind of like making you feel bad for being you, then this needs to be addressed. However, I don't really think it's normally within them. I think those issues are normally within ourselves. Because there's a reason why we feel that we can't be ourselves in front of our spouse. Now, whether or not that reason is legitimate or not needs to be found out. And the only way we can find that out is to do what? Is to express ourselves, to ask the questions, and then to listen. And that's how we do it. So when we return, we'll be talking about more of the ways that you can effectively communicate with your spouse every time and how to have a happy, healthy marriage. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about marriage and communication and how you can communicate effectively to your spouse, because that's so important. And we want to talk about that tonight, because in the first hour, we talked about marriage, you and the family and the responsibilities and the dreams and the duties and the work, and how you can stay you and how you can honestly be you and juggle all this at the same time and still come out with something. And so now we've been talking about communication, because lately, I think in anybody's marriage, we find times where we don't communicate effectively. We find situations where our spouse jumps to conclusions on things. We get into a fight. We fuss. We argue over the stupidest stuff. Because guess what? We didn't communicate right. I mean, I've been married. It'll be 12 years this weekend. And for all of y'all that are celebrating an anniversary, all of you that know how it feels to be married for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, can attest to the fact that communicating with your spouse is one of the biggest things you got to deal with. And it's something that we have to do right. We can't just sit there and half do it. And I'm an air sign. And a lot of people, I don't know about astrology with everybody, but you know what? I have a tendency of thinking that I say a lot of things when I don't. I have a tendency of thinking that I said all this stuff when I didn't. And the only reason I started realizing that is I started hanging out with a friend of mine that's very similar to me. And we would be going to meetings and I would say, hey, so what's this? And they'd be like, I told you that already. No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. No, you didn't. And I started realizing that him and I had a lot of the same characteristics. That's what I was doing in my marriage all the time with my husband. I'm surprised he didn't go crazy. And that's the deal, is that when we realize that we have to communicate effectively in order to get the point across, in order to be understood, in order to understand what's going on, in order to understand what they're thinking, in order for them to understand what we're thinking, we must communicate effectively. So the first thing we talked about was listening. Listening is key. It's the cornerstone to a good communication, because you understand where someone's coming from. And you can listen and ask questions if you want to. But the listening factor is highly important. And I suggest that we start listening all today to our spouses. And sometimes our spouses can talk about absolutely nothing. However, some of that bits of information is important. And, you know, one of the things that I think is funny is that, you know, when we don't seem to listen, we have all this miscommunication. Or when others don't seem to listen, they don't get where we're coming from. And it's just like, why do we even communicate in the first place? I mean, what's the point? I mean, the point is that we're totally like two ships in the night, completely passing. Neither one knows where the other one is. Neither one of us have GPS coordinates, and both of us are completely silent. And if we're not silent, we're just talking nonsense, and the other person's not even listening. So it's interesting how that goes. And so listening is a key factor. And I know people go, oh, well, that's easier said than done. And sometimes you might need to communicate with your spouse and say, hey, you know, some of these things let's talk about. And some of these things, you know, I'm going to be here for you as a sounding board. But I mean, when it comes to the big factual stuff that we need to talk about, I'm here to listen. Because some of this stuff, I think people just talk to hear themselves talk. But I think in the most part, when it comes to the important stuff, we have to listen. The second thing is to express ourselves. In any good marriage or any good relationship, you have to be able to honestly express yourself completely and honestly. I mean, a lot of times we hold back, and I was talking about this in the first hour, about how sometimes we change our persona, we change just the way of communication and our personality, really, when we're out with our spouse sometimes versus when we're just out with our friends. And, you know, when I had just gotten married, I felt that way. I wasn't very gregarious. I didn't go out of my way. I didn't go crazy. I didn't do, like, little dance moves when I was out with my friends and my spouse because I felt weird about it. But then later on, as I've grown up, I've realized that that's me. And that's who I am. And if he doesn't like it, that's fine. But that's who I am. And I'm not going to sit there and try to curtail myself from being who I am based on the fact that I think that he wants me to be XYZ. And I think for the most part, the reasons why we change around our spouse is because we believe that they want a certain type of person. We believe that they won't accept us for us. We actually think that they're going to judge us. And some of us are actually being judged by our spouses right now. But I would have to say that 80% of us are actually judging ourselves and our spouses aren't judging us. Because we're judging ourselves wondering if they're going to accept us. Will they like it? Will they make a comment? Will they put us down? Will they make us act, feel like a fool? Those kind of things. And I think if you can honestly express yourself openly and honest with your spouse, that says a lot. That means that y'all are on the same wavelength. That means that y'all are feeling the same about a lot of great stuff. That means that also you can communicate. Because when we hold back our true feelings, when we hold back our true feelings and we aren't true to ourselves, guess what happens? We lose ourselves. And that's why you hear a lot of people out there talking about how they lost themselves in their marriage, like they lost themselves in a relationship because they weren't themselves. And sometimes that could be because we've chosen not to be ourselves. And other times that could be because we're in a relationship where the other person doesn't make us feel good about being ourselves. And there are certain personality disorders that are brought to the forefront when I think about that. For example, I've been in a couple of relationships prior to my marriage that were with borderline personality disorder, people that actually suffered from that, and they didn't know that they did. And I would change myself accordingly because, like, for example, I've talked about this on a previous show. When I walk in after work, and they would be there after work, and I would be like, hey, oh my gosh, how was your day? How was your day? How was your day? And they'd be like, shh, keep it down. Chill out. Keep it down. Why do you have to be so loud? God, Ashley, just calm down. God, had a long day, stressed out. And so the next time I come home, same thing. So all of a sudden, I started changing my personality. I would walk in the door. Good evening. How you doing? How's your day? And over time, I started losing myself. And if you're in a marriage like that or in a relationship, you really need to check yourself at this point and consider, is it more important to be in that marriage or that relationship, or is it more important to find yourself? Because I do believe that a little bit of midlife crisis comes from the fact of not being yourself, of feeling like you've had to hide yourself for so long that you finally just like kind of bust at the seams in various issues. And it's almost like you want to be a kid again because you kind of lost out on that first childhood that you feel like you want to be a kid again. And I think that's so important. I think that's one of the big deals. And I think that we have to really watch ourselves to make sure that we are not losing ourselves. Because in the end, it's just us that looks in the mirror, right? In the end, you know, I hate to get all existential and all that stuff because, you know, that's part of me. But, you know, I don't want to bring it down. We'll bring back the room up in 1 second. But in the end, we all... born on our own, we all die on our own. And it's like, you have to sit there and think about it. What makes sense to me? How important is me being me to me? How important is it actually for me to know more about myself? And you know, the cool thing is the more that we know about ourselves, the more we know about other people. Because we can understand them, because we understand where we're coming from. We understand what makes us tick. We understand the decisions we make and the fun that we have. We understand that the depression we might feel sometimes, or why we feel down occasionally. We understand why we get stressed out. We understand why we get emotional. We even understand why we get emotional on, like, kind of like corny commercials. Why is that? For us women, we do that a little more than men, I think. But some men do that too. And a lot of it has to do with stress. But a lot of times it brings back memories of our childhood. And to be able to know some of those little intricacies about our life, I think makes it for a successful, amazing life that we have, especially even with ourselves. Because that's what matters, right? I mean, some people go travel all over the earth to try to find themselves when they're just right here. Like, you don't have to go all over the earth to find yourself. You're here. You don't have to go looking for people to help you figure it out. You don't have to go to psychic readings to help you figure out who you are. You can find out from who you are right now if you want to listen. And all these things right here work for a marriage, but they also work for your personal relationship with yourself. And if you have a good personal relationship with yourself, oh my gosh, you're already winning. You're already winning because there's nobody you have to beat. You don't have to be better than anybody else, right? Isn't it about being better than you were yesterday? Isn't that what it's about? Being better than you were yesterday. And that's key. So in your marriage, yes, listening is awesome and expressing yourself is awesome and being yourself is awesome. But on the same fold, isn't it awesome to listen to yourself, to listen to why you feel a certain way? To hear the voice in your head, to hear the comments you're making, sometimes that negative record that talks bad about you, because we are our worst enemy most of the time. And sometimes we don't even realize it. And that worst enemy broken record can get in the way of our other relationships. Think about it. It can get in the way of our marriage. Example, we're feeling down about something in our life. We're feeling like we're, you know, for a lot of us, we work really hard. And the payoff, as far as the financial payoff, might be low. And we have a tendency, because of our society and our culture, to judge ourselves based on the financial increments that we make. And so then we're personally judging ourselves. And then within our mind, we have the broken record that puts us down because we're not making enough money. We're not doing as well as John or Jeff or our friend Brenda. And then we start judging ourselves on a level like that, putting ourselves down. We'll never make it. We'll never do well. You know, life's passing me by. When is it going to happen for me? Why is it happening for everybody else? And then you show up after work, you know, and you show up and see your spouse, and, you know, your spouse makes one question and you go off. And you get angry and you get mad and you go off on them. And why do you go off on them? Because it's in your head. Because they might say something that has nothing to do with what you're thinking, but just some little comment just sparks it. Oh, you don't feel like I'm successful enough? Oh, really? And we've all been there, and you know what I'm talking about. And that negative self-record, that negative self-talk can get in our way. And so that's why we have to listen to that and understand where it's coming from. And if we can do that, it benefits not only us, right? The nature, the world around us, but specifically the people we live with, our children, our marriage. So stay tuned. When we return, I'll be talking more about how to communicate effectively in your marriage and what you can do to make that work tonight. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about marriage and communication, and how important communication is in your marriage, even more so with yourself. You know, in the first hour, we talked about marriage, you and family and dreams and responsibilities, and how to juggle all that and how to have your own life, because that can seem pretty difficult, because sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes other people's needs and wants and desires are different from yours. Other times you're trying to help people with their dreams and desires and wants, and you're trying to figure out how to juggle your own. And you know, it's interesting how we've been talking about communication in the second hour and how important it is to communicate effectively with your spouse and how a lot of those communication concepts actually work directly with communicating with yourself. You know, we talked in the first segment about dealing with listening and how to actually listen properly. We talked about expressing yourself properly, expressing yourself with others. And you know, like I talked about in the first hour tonight about how you can be yourself with your spouse. You know, and I just ended talking in this last segment, which I thought was interesting, about the concept of being able to understand how you feel and listening to your internal self as well. When we're able to understand how we feel, when we're able to understand why we do what we do, we are then able to understand how to communicate properly, and we're also able to understand why we react in certain ways. And one of the biggest things about communication and marriage and having a good marriage is reaction, is not to react. Not to react in an argumentative or painful way, because a lot of times when we feel like we're being pushed into a corner, we may feel that our spouse is acting like they know everything. And some of us have been there where, you know, you're like, oh, great, my spouse is coming in there telling me this, this, and that. They act like they know everything. And sometimes they might have a good beat on things, and it might have been something we hadn't thought about, and so it kind of upsets us a little bit. And we kind of lash out. Ah, I already thought about that. It's not going to work. You know, and then later on you think about it, you go, eh, that probably could have worked. But the reaction, we have to be slow to react in a negative way. And I think when we're able to listen and we're able to understand why we do what we do, we don't react in a negative way. We react in a positive way. We react in the way that we should react instead of lashing out. So let's talk about the next way to communicate effectively. Is to realize that they are human too. To realize that they too are human. They don't have a superhero outfit on underneath their suit or underneath their dress. They are human too. And with that in mind, we have to remember that they're going to do the same bonehead stuff we do too. They're going to make comments. There's going to be some ego involved. I'm sure some of y'all hear the I told you so. That's always so not sweet. Makes you want to pucker up because it's such a sour comment. I told you so, honey. I told you so. You should have listened to me. I told you so. Oh, gosh. Anything but the I told you so comment. Oh, my gosh. I could think of a lot of things I'd rather hear than the I told you so. It's like, oh, my gosh. Why don't you just take the knife and stick it in my heart, why don't you? But we have to realize that they are human, too, and they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to make human comments. They might make some flippant-type comments that might not make us too happy, but we do it, too. And if we want them to slow down on those types of comments, we got to slow down on them. We have to do what we want. You know, the Bible's talked about it. There's all kinds of books about it, about, you know, you give what you get. You get what you give. So if we're over there saying, I told you so all the time and putting them down, we're going to get a lot of that too. On the flip side, if we're holding them up to a certain caliber and we know that we respect them and we listen to them, they're going to listen to us and respect us as well. And that's key. But to realize that they are human too and they make mistakes, that's glorious. And that's where we want to be at, because we want to understand that we can't hold them up to a certain caliber that they can't ever achieve. That's not fair. And we'll never be happy in the marriage because they'll never live up to that. Nobody can. Nobody can. Nobody can live up to some of these things that we put people up to. And so they let us down. We get mad. We get angry. We start a fight. We stomp off. You know, we wake up the next day. Everybody's still in a crass mood. And you go through the next day. You're still thinking about it at work. Your work's suffering. Think about it. And that's one of the suggestions I have too, a little nugget, is trying to never go to sleep angry. Try not to ever go to sleep angry, knowing that they're human too, and knowing that they're going to hold on to resentment and anger and upset, and knowing that you're doing the same thing, that doesn't do anybody good. And I think that sometimes in life we have to sit back and just say, hey, let's sit down and discuss this. Let's rectify this. I don't want to go to bed with all this. I'm not going to be able to sleep very well anyway. Think about that. It doesn't do anybody good, because you wake up and you feel remorseful and your dreams were kind of messed up and you feel kind of weird about it. And then you got to talk anyway, so why don't you talk then before you have to wake up and do it later on? Where your sleep's affected. Where your next day's affected. Deal with it now. Be proactive. Be proactive in your marriage. Don't sit there and sleep on something. It never did anybody good to sleep on a bunch of stress and anger, I'll tell you that. I'd rather sleep on a rock than stress and anger. Because at least I know the rock isn't going to change my dreams. At least I know the rock isn't going to, you know, pick itself up and hit me in the middle of the night. My anger will. My resentment will. Because I'm going to personally take that out on myself, too. Because I'm resentful of myself for even starting the fight, or for being involved in the fight, or for not putting an end to it. And I think when we realize these things and realize that they are human, too, we're able to understand where everybody's coming from. And we don't feel like we're being sabotaged. We don't feel like we're, you know, being messed up. We don't feel like we're being sacrificed. And we realize that everybody's in it together. We slow down on the reaction. We become more proactive. I mean, it's almost like how you deal with work people. Like, the last thing you do is go, go crazy, you know, taking the copier, throwing pieces of it off, slinging them at your coworker. No, you're not doing that. I mean, some movies talk about that kind of stuff, you know. But think about it. You're not doing that. You sit there and you take some time, you try to chill out, and you try to come to a good solution and a good conclusion. And that's what we want to do in our marriage or in a long-term relationship, is we want to realize that we can come together and that our relationship means more than just this petty argument that we can figure out. And I know some of y'all out there listening say, well, you know what? I'm dealing with a situation that's not a petty argument. I'm dealing with a situation that's kind of big. And I thought my spouse would never have done that to me. And if you're dealing with a situation like that right now, you got to sit down, write the pros and cons out about the marriage, and you need to sit down and talk with your spouse, and you need to figure out how important this marriage is to you. You need to also figure out, did you put them on a high pedestal that they could never live up to? You also need to think about, is their love real? But not only that, there's a lot of insecurity that goes with that. When people do things that put them in a different light with us, a lot of times it's because they're feeling insecure with something in their life and they're trying to gain some ground somewhere else. And so sometimes if your spouse comes home inebriated and you didn't think they were going to go out and drink, they didn't tell you, they come home like that, they didn't really care, they seem to be kind of flipping about the whole deal. You know, I would sit back and kind of analyze the situation and figure out what is it that they're dealing with that they're not sharing, because they're not expressing themselves right now. There's something they're holding back with. There's something they're not telling you. Whether it's financial, whether it's personal, whether it's stress involved, whether it's work, whether it's you, whether it's them, whether it's a combination of all that. They're holding back and they're using alcohol as a crutch and escape. And anytime people are starting to escape or using escape methods in the escape hatch, you got to sit back and figure out what is it that they're escaping from and what is stressing them out so much. And if you can figure that out, they're going to have to help you. They're going to have to talk to you. But if you come to them in a loving manner and you listen, they'll open up. They'll open up and they'll help you. They'll express themselves to you. They'll explain themselves to you, at least to a degree. And if you feel like they're holding back, you ask them some more questions. You ask them where they're coming from. If you feel they're not telling you the truth, then you have to weigh this. What's going on? What are they not telling you? And you can use this from, like, you know, from back then. I mean, depending on how long you've been married, you can kind of dictate what's happening. But I would definitely not always see things at face value. And I think a lot of times when people are under stress and strain, they do crazy stuff. And if you can understand where the stress and strain is coming from, you can one up the deal. And you can understand that it's probably not a personal vendetta against you of why they went out and got inebriated and didn't bother calling you. It's probably something totally different. It's something they might be holding back from you because they don't want to stress you out. It could be just a personal thing. They could be going through a period of time where they hit 45 or they hit 40, 45, 50. And they're stressed out about the things they haven't done yet. They're stressed out about the life that they wanted to leave that they don't seem to have lived yet. Like I was talking in the first hour about marriage and family and dreams and responsibilities. Sometimes we have these great dreams when we're kids about going to the Serengeti and doing this stuff. And when life starts, you know, handing you a bunch of responsibilities, And you haven't seen the Serengeti yet, and you wonder if you're ever going to get there. It can kind of make you sad. And it's like, you want to know these things. And if your spouse has dreams and aspirations, you should know them. And even if you don't share the same dreams and aspirations, you all have dreams, you all have aspirations, and you can respect their dreams. You can respect what they aspire. And maybe because they're holding back not telling you that because they might think that you think they're crazy, this could bring you together, and it will definitely bring your marriage closer together. Because you'll actually be talking about things that go to the root of the person, and some of these dreams go to the root of the person back when they were a child. So stay tuned when we return. I'm going to give you the last tip on how to communicate effectively with your marriage and your spouse every time. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and
sound. Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about marriage and communication, being able to juggle that family, being able to juggle the responsibilities and still have those dreams and aspirations, and how to communicate effectively, even about those dreams and aspirations, and how to communicate effectively with your spouse. It's so important, because if you want to live the life that you've always dreamed of and not look back with anger or resentment or regret, you've got to communicate effectively. You got to know where you stand. You got to know where she stands. You got to know where he stands. You got to know what's going on. And in order to do that, we have to communicate correctly. And we talked earlier about listening and how that is imperative. You got to listen in order to communicate correctly, in order to be heard, in order to be there and present. You got to listen to what's going on. And that is so important. The second thing is that you have to be able to express yourself. Really, this is a very big deal. And, you know, when we're able to express ourselves, we're able to be ourselves in front of our spouse. We're able to deal with our children. We're able to understand where we're coming from. And a lot of times we house these thoughts and processes in our mind. We house feelings and sometimes a negative broken record that gets expressed later on when we're communicating with our spouse. And that can get in the way of our communication because that can cause problems that the spouse doesn't even understand because you're not being honest about it, because you're holding back. And some of us don't even know that that broken record's in our head. And so we're constantly acting or talking from a position of being lesser than, of feeling that we're not good enough. And in that situation, that can cause us so many headaches and so many problems. And we have to sit back and analyze and listen to our own head and go, what's going on in there? How do I get rid of this negative broken record? How do I stop this negative commentation? It's almost like you're watching ESPN and the commentators are over there going, well, yeah, Ashley's never going to get this done. And that's never going to happen. And there's Ashley doing something else again. That's not going to work out. And that goes through your mind 24/7. Guess what happens? You're going to communicate from a negative perspective. Every time your spouse says something, you're going to think that they're going after you. Oh, you're trying to get a piece of me? Oh, you're going to cut me? Oh, you're going to cut me? And you start getting that way, and you know what? All of a sudden, it becomes a slippery slope, and you can't communicate anymore. You and your spouse can't talk. You have all these walls and barriers between you two. And you feel like you're not heard, and you feel like they don't understand you. And it becomes this problem. You know, the next step is we want to not get angry. We want to not get angry. We want to not get reactionary. Being reactionary is a problem, and I've been reactionary in my marriage where I just blow my top. I go, wah, I lose it. I just lose it because I'm stressed out and I'm holding it all in, and he'll make a comment, and it has nothing to really do with that, but I hear it a certain way, and it gets me mad, and I just go off. And that is reactions. We don't want to be reactionary. We don't want to be that person that reacts to things and stresses everybody out. We want to be able to sit there and be mindful and not let our emotions control us. And at the same time, we have to be honest and we have to know what's going through our heads. So if we're really stressed out about finances and we're seeing the bottom line and we are really, really, really stressed out, and you're over there waiting because the end of the month is 5 days from now and you're waiting for that check to show up on the first, that can stress you out. That can make you think about some crazy stuff. And when your spouse says something about work or where you're at with work or what you're doing, it can just hit you in a certain way that just you go off. And so think about those kind of things. Being proactive instead of reactive is a way that you can really help your marriage. Because think about it. If you're holding back stuff, your spouse is probably holding back stuff. If you're financially stressed out, they're financially stressed out. And that's something that you have to all realize, is that a lot of times we're all dealing with some of the same stressors. And it's great to be able to get all the cards on the table and realize where everybody's coming from so everybody understands what's happening. You know, the next concept is that we have to realize that they are human too. They are people too, and they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to do stuff, and they're going to push your buttons. The old, I told you so. Oh, I told you so, Ashley. Oh my gosh. You totally screwed up on that. I totally told you so. If you would have listened to me, none of this would have happened. Oh my gosh. How many times have we heard the I told you so thing? It doesn't have to be in the actual words I told you so, but you know what I'm saying. There's various comments that mean the same thing. But we have to realize that they're human too, and they're going to make decisions, and they're going to make assumptions, and they're going to make little comments. However, the more we work at not making little comments, the more we work at being honest in our communication, the more we work about being authentic, the more we work at being better than we were yesterday, the better our communication is, the better our listening is, and in turn, they will jump up to the next level because they'll realize that we're no longer doing that to them. You know, it's interesting, when we throw stones at people, they throw them back. It's funny that way. When we are at peace with people, usually they are. And if they're not, then there's something else going on. But most of the time, people follow suit. You give, I get. You give, I get. That kind of sort of thing. We do what we need to do. We show respect and we get respect. We don't show respect. We show disrespect and we get disrespect. And that's key. And lastly, I want to talk about communication with your spouse about where you are and where you want to be. And for most of us, we're at an age that we have dreams, we have aspirations, and it's not necessarily about working for the same company we've been working for. It's not necessarily about living in the same house forever. It could be some big dreams. And I think one of the things you want to sit down tonight or tomorrow and do me a favor, because I think this is going to really work out for you. Grab two legal pads or two pads of paper and write down some of your dreams. And y'all talk about these dreams and give an idea of when you want to attain these dreams. Because I bet that some of your dreams and aspirations are similar. They're similar in nature. They have a similar concept. And let's say like if you're, let's say if your spouse wants to move to New York City, or your spouse wants to eventually retire on the beach, or you want to do this or that. There's got to be a way that you can take both of y'all's dreams and make it a reality, or at least work toward it. And if y'all can sit there and talk about the big picture stuff, that can get y'all out of the minutia. That can also help you get out of the stress and strain of whatever's happening that day, that week, that month. But it also puts you on a roadmap together. That when two people are thinking that way and two people are going that direction, it happens. If you're going one way and they're going another, you are basically eliminating each other's power and force. You're directly cutting each other's power and force off. But when two people come together in a united effort, things can come about and magnificent things can happen. So, for example, if your spouse wants to eventually move to a different city and work in a different city, you can probably work there too. But you have to be on the same roadmap for what that city is and at what year are we talking this? Because everything's got to come together. And if you know the plan and they know the plan, there's more of a chance that the plan is actually going to become a reality. If both of you are working on two different plans and neither of you have sat down to talk about the plan, it's probably not going to happen. I've heard of people's major dreams come true because they sat down with their spouse and they said, this is what I want to do. By this year, around this time, I want to be in this position to be able to do this. And this could even be starting with a vacation. With a vacation. You haven't taken a vacation in years. Y'all are going to sit down and say, hey, I want to take a vacation to XYZ by this time. And I want us to work together to make this a reality. And this communication is so awesome and so effective, and it's going to work almost every time. Because you know what? When you come together for a plan and you work together, not against each other, and you communicate and you listen, you're ahead of the game. Continue to be better than you were yesterday. Have a wonderful marriage. Have a wonderful relationship. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in what? In three shakes.